looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mez.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
High fly ball, deep left field. Watch this baby go. It is gone. How about that? Brandon Phillips has put the Red Sox in the lead. 9-8 in the ninth inning. Is that some debut? Goodness gracious. And holy cow.
This is their year. So I was taken out of context a little bit, I have to admit. A little bit taken out of context by our producer, Jimmy Stewart.
This is their year.
We'll open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters.
This is their year.
Wow, what a win. Wow, what a win. And just to give you the full context. Go ahead, Jimmy, do it again.
This is their year.
Because, of course, we know context is king.
Exactly. But just to give you context.
This is their year.
What I said was, what I actually said was, this is the kind of win that makes you sort of just throw up your hands and say, enough with the analytics, enough with the all the assessments and the critiques and the bullpen and the lineup and the lefties and the righties and the Yankees and the Astros and enough with all of it. Enough with all of it. Because sometimes a team just starts pulling stuff off where you say, you know what?
This is their year.
Maybe this is their year. Maybe that's just their year. Maybe it's that simple. If you believe in destiny and fate and all of that stuff, that no matter what the Red Sox do, that they're going to win. It's like it's preordained, Murray. It's written.
Either that or it makes you believe that no city can gag away wins to a Boston team like Atlanta.
Well, there's that possibility too. I wouldn't rule that one in either. 28-3, is that the one you're getting at?
Yeah.
You're getting to, Mari? In any case, 617-779-0985. So here's what I would like to know if you're a Red Sox fan. If you're like me and you are skeptical of the bullpen and of potential weaknesses in October, whether it's David Price's history, Rick Porcello's history, anyone else's, does a win like today change your mind? Because to me, it doesn't. Okay? It doesn't. It reaffirms what I thought a lot of the strengths the Red Sox possessed exist, and they do. This team's ability to sort of fight through and win is really extraordinary. It is. Give them all the credit in the world for that. I think their magic number to make the playoffs now is 4. Is that right?
That is correct.
I mean, Murray, it's September 5th.
No, I know. It's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
This is their year.
Okay, that is ridiculous. And just for people who don't know, the Red Sox were down 7-1 in the eighth inning today. They're down 7-1. And their starting lineup today did not have Mookie Betts, did not have J.D. Martinez, and Frank didn't have much of anyone else. Listen to the lineup that Alex Cora started today. Jackie Bradley led off and played center field. Blake Swihart batted second and played right field. Benintendi was in left. Moreland was at first. Brandon Phillips, playing in his first big league game in basically a year, was your number 5 hitter. Devers batted 6th. Holt was 7th. Vasquez was 8th. And Hector Velasquez was the starting pitcher. If I called that a spring training lineup, that would be an insult to spring training lineups. Really, the Red Sox had what? A couple of regulars in there when you really get down to it? Holt's a utility guy. Devers this year really has played like a borderline big leaguer. Moreland is a platoon guy. Phillips wasn't even in the big leagues until 2 days ago. Swihart's a 25th man on the roster. Bradley's a 4th outfielder on a championship team. Vasquez, to me, I think, still has the profile or the qualities of a backup catcher, and Hector Velasquez is a journeyman. He's a nobody, Hector Velasquez. And they won the game 9-8, get 6 runs in the 8th inning to tie the game. And how about that scenario? They're down 7-1 in the 8th. They rally for 6 runs. They tie the game at 7. They have the bases loaded with Mookie Betts at the plate to win it or to go ahead. Betts strikes out. So they blow the chance to take the lead in the 8th after a great, great comeback. Then they go to the bottom of the 8th, and Brandon Workman gives up a home run to Freddie Freeman. So now they fall behind again because their bullpen can't keep them in it. Can't keep it tied. Then they come up in the 9th. One out, Benintendi singles. Steve Pierce strikes out, and Brandon Phillips hits a home run about 20 rows into the left field seats to give the Red Sox a 9-8 lead. Kimbrel comes on, walks a batter in the 9th, but gets a save. If you are a doubter and a game like that does not make you believe, well, then you have the same affliction I do. Frankly, I look at the Red Sox and I still worry about them in October. But nonetheless, boy, today's the kind of game that will make you a believer if you were one of those people on the fence. But I want your thoughts, 617-779-0985. And let me ask you this question. At the trade deadline, the Red Sox didn't add a reliever. I was very critical of them. Murray, I think you'll vouch for me in saying that at the time I said, I don't understand why Ian Kinsler really has to be here. You've already got Nunez. You've already got Holt. You signed Brandon Phillips. He's down in AAA. Why did you need Ian Kinsler? Couldn't you have used that resource to maybe go get yourself a reliever? Okay? I think I said that at the time. Yes or no?
Yeah, yeah, no. You've been consistent with that. As you know, I think most people on this station, I'm with you too. They should have added another arm at the trade deadline. They obviously did not.
So the one that really makes you kick Dombrowski today is, did you really have to go get Kinsler? Couldn't you have gotten bullpen help? Because look at what Brandon Phillips can do. And not just home run. Phillips played well at AAA. Phillips runs the base as well. In fact, he sort of got hung up between third and home today and then broke for the plate, made a great slide, and scored. Okay, so he made a great base running play too, or a good one at the very least. Took a chance, stole the Red Sox a run. And defensively, Phillips has always been dynamite. Brandon Phillips has always been dynamite. So I think he's a better offensive player than Kinsler. I feel like he's as good a base runner, if not better, than Kinsler. And defensively, he's as good or better. And they got him for nothing. Nothing. So you know what I want to do here, too? I want to start going through the playoff roster. Because the magic number for the postseason is 4. Murray, did you say for the division it's 14?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's either 14 or 15.
I mean, it's really incredible. It is. It's incredible. And so now I think you have to ask. Brandon Phillips, I think the Red Sox brought up largely as a reward to thank him for sticking out in the minor leagues in the event they needed him. What if he plays well this month? What if he plays better than Kinsler or Holt or Nunez or Devers? Do you want him on the roster in October? Because I'll tell you what, I would take him. I would. 617-779-0985. I'll tell you what, we'll take one call here, and then we'll get to the rest of you in just a little bit. Mike is in a car. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. First of all, you're 1,000% correct on all of this. The observation I have is that I'd love to know the Red Sox record against all the division winners and against the Yankees, and I'll bet you it's 600 or better. That being said, at the end of the day, this is a Dave Dombrowski team. It doesn't have a bullpen, and it will come back to haunt them in October, I'm afraid. I don't believe. I wish I did, but I don't. I'll step back and hear what you have to say.
Okay, so Mike, look, it's hard to get around that bullpen thing. It's hard. There are certain years, though, where they just defy logic. I mean, the last time they won the World Series was one of those years. That 2013 team defied logic. They had no right beating the Detroit Tigers. And if the Tigers had a bullpen, the Tigers would have won that series. Detroit was the more talented team that year. To call them the better team would be wrong. But they were the more talented team for sure in 2013. I mean, just look at the starting pitchers, how they mowed down the Red Sox that year. But every time the Red Sox needed a big hit, they got it. It defied logic. Maybe this team defies logic too. So I'll tell you what, since a caller asked, we'll try to give you the Red Sox one-loss record against division leaders here when we come back. And I want to start going through that playoff roster because I think there are some questions here that are interesting. And I don't think it's too early to do that because the magic number is 4. We'll do all that when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When it goes, swung on and missed, and that'll do it. What a comeback for the Boston Red Sox, the game of the year. They come back from 7-1 down and stun Atlanta to sweep the series 9-8, the final. Brandon Phillips, the newest member of the Red Sox and the newest hero, with the 2-run home run in the 9th inning.
Pretty good comeback by the Red Sox. Murray, what was that stat you had earlier about teams season when trailing by 6 runs in the 8th inning?
They were 0-487 when down by 6 or more runs entering the 8th inning.
I mean, really, that is unbelievable. That is like that Super Bowl stat on the Patriots against Atlanta. Remember that?
Yeah.
487. Well, it's even better than I thought.
Yeah.
0-487 teams were this year when trailing by 6 in the 8th inning. And the Red Sox won with a triple-A lineup and a game-winning homer from a guy who hasn't played in the big leagues all year. You want to talk about having a horseshoe between your cheeks? This team has got one. On top of all the ability they have, and I'm not taking away from the talent, but everything is going right for this team this year. Just about everything. Really. Brandon freaking Phillips, are you serious with that? I like Phillips as a player, but he hasn't played in a big league game in a year. A year. He was on the free agent market. Nobody signed him. The Red Sox picked him up and stashed him in the minor leagues at Pawtucket because they thought he might be able to help given Pedroia's injuries. And then even then, Phillips got a little injury on his side, so the Red Sox traded for Kinsler. By the time September 1st came around, the Red Sox said, well, you know what? The guy's been a good soldier. He stuck it out. He's playing well down there. Let's bring him up. Let's reward him. They give him a start today in Atlanta in a game that they clearly did not care about. They took 2 out of 3 from the Braves. They have an off day tomorrow. They've been on the road. So they said, we're going to rest all our good guys. Martinez didn't start. Betts didn't start. They started Hector Velasquez on the mound. It was a throwaway. And even then, they couldn't lose. And Brandon Phillips hits one into the seats in the 9th inning to win the game. Really unbelievable. So the question then becomes, did they even need Kinsler? Could they have used that currency in the form of Buttrey, I think was the guy that they traded to the Angels. And Murray, I'm going to totally pull up a Felger thing on you here. Can you look up Ty Buttrey's stats with the Angels, right-handed reliever with the Angels, since they brought him to the big leagues? Because I think he's been pretty good. So the Red Sox traded him away, 25-year-old reliever. They get Kinsler, and then Phillips comes up and wins a game for him anyway. So I think Phillips now, you sort of look at him and go, wait a minute. This guy can run. He can play defense. He's still got a little bit of pop. Maybe he can help them in the playoffs. What do you got, Murray?
Got an earned run average of 108, 8 1/3 innings pitched, giving up only 7 hits, and 1 earned run.
How many strikeouts and walks?
He has 9 strikeouts and 3 walks.
Okay. So that's the guy they gave up for Kinsler. I don't know. Maybe they could have used him and gotten a more proven reliever. Just a quick reminder, by the way, before we get to your calls, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast whenever you want by going to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Also on your phone with the Sports Hub app, which is sensational. And remember that you can listen to the Hardcore Baseball podcast there as well. That is with Matt McCarthy. And if you don't know Matt, he's a tall redhead who wears a T-shirt that says Hardcore Baseball that his mother made for him. So, but he's a good guy, and he loves the game. So you can listen to Matt's Hardcore Baseball as well, too. 617-779-0985. We'll take a couple of your calls, and we'll start going over that playoff roster. Roger's in Manchester, New Hampshire. Roger, what do you got?
Hey, Nash. On Phillips, he cannot be on the roster for the playoffs.
Yes, he can.
No, he can't. Listen, the rule is right here. I'm reading it. The rules say you have to be on a major league roster on August 31st. That's what they call up. That's what they call everybody up in September. If somebody gets injured, then they can take somebody from the 40-man roster and put them on the 25-man roster. That is a rule.
Okay, so, Roger, I'll tell you what. I think there's a way around it now. All you have to do is be in the organization. All you have to do is be in the organization. And I don't know where the rule you found. And I'll tell you what, there's a possibility I'm wrong on this. But I think if they wanted to put Devers on the DL, they could put Phillips on the playoff roster. I think. But in any case, it's that time of year. Again, the magic number is 4. They're going to be in the postseason. They're going to win the division. For all of those people who thought that they were going to blow the division at the Yankees, 21 games to go. They're up 9, 8 in the loss column. It's over. It was over a month ago. Frankly, when the Yankees came in here in August and the Red Sox kicked their ass, that's when it was over. So, Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray. I would like your input on this because I think it's this sort of exercise. But in the postseason, you are going to have 4 starting pitchers. Okay? Who would you expect that they would be assuming health?
Sale, Price, Rick Porcello, Eduardo Rodriguez?
Yep. Stop there. That's the 4. I mean, who else? You going to put Nathan Eovaldi in there?
No. Well, I mean, I know the Rodriguez thing I say, you know, with that tone in my voice because, okay, he came back and had that one start and has looked good, but I just feel like, you know, considering his injury history there, that's a little shaky.
Okay, so if it's not him, who is it?
Guess Eovaldi.
Okay, so this is my point. Like it's clear. I think it's clearly those 4 guys.
Yeah.
Sale, Price, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Porcello. Jimmy Stewart?
Are we sure that Sale's going to be ready to start?
Okay, so again, I said assuming health.
Because I'm almost thinking at this point, if Sale's healthy, shouldn't he be your 7th and 8th inning pitcher?
No. He's going to start. And again, assume health.
Sale, Porcello, Price, Eddie Rodriguez.
Okay. I know I'm taking all the fun out of it, Jimmy, but I just think the reality is there's no way they're going to put Sale in the bullpen. They won't do that.
I mean, at least he's got a history of being successful pitching out of the bullpen. When he was with the White Sox, he was the setup man for them.
And so does Price, right? But I think those guys are clearly going to be your 4 starting pitchers. And then you're going to have 7 guys in the bullpen. Okay? It may be 8, but when I rattle off the names to you, there's really no need to carry 8. I mean, what, so you can get Brandon Workman on the roster? Can we agree, and I just want a yes or a no, can we agree that the following people will be on the playoff roster? Kimbrel.
Yes.
Barnes.
Yes.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Yes.
Brazier.
No.
Yes.
See, I think he is on.
I think Cora loves this guy.
Hembry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thornburg.
No.
I'm not sure. I'll say no.
Okay, so I think Thornburg's going to be on it too, which means that if you carry 11, the final spot's going to come down to Nathan Eovaldi or Brandon Workman.
I would like Workman.
Jimmy?
I'll go Eovaldi there because Workman's not the same pitcher he was in 2013, although he is the same hitter he was in 2013.
Okay, so I think they're going to keep Eovaldi. Okay, I think they're going to keep Kimbrel, Barnes, Kelly, Brazier, Hembry, Thornburg, Eovaldi. All right-handers, but I think they're going to keep all those guys. And then if they have an injury, Workman can come up and replace that guy. Okay, so they'll have one guy for depth there. And Workman, you know, they'll have Steven right down in the minors. They'll do stuff like that. I mean, I say down in the minors. Traveling with the team, working out, staying in sort of game condition so that in the event of an injury, those guys can come up and join the team. But to me, that's probably it for your pitching staff. Okay, again, barring injury, assuming health. I think it's going to be those guys. The positional roster gets a little bit more interesting, especially if Brandon Phillips is involved. So I'm going to venture during the break to find out exactly what the rule is. My understanding is you just had to be in the organization. I don't know if you had to be on the 40-man roster, and I don't think you did. I think you just had to be in the organization, and then they add you to the 40-man roster in September. But we'll venture to find that out.
But Tony, it's worth mentioning that when they did this transaction to put Phillips on the major league roster, there was no note he's been added to the 40-man roster, which makes me think that when they signed him June 27th, they signed him to a contract and he was on the 40-man.
So that's a good question, Jimmy. I don't know if he was or he wasn't. So maybe
he had minor league contract, but maybe they snuck him in because the issue with him was if they called him up and wanted to send him back down, he has no more options and he could be claimed on waivers. And that's why they brought up a different infielder sometime in July because they didn't want to lose Phillips on a waiver claim.
Okay, so you might be right about that, Jimmy. You might be right. And I just think that he's on it now. You can't be playing in the big leagues if you're not on the 40-man roster. Okay, so we'll venture to find that out during the break. Murray's got your headlines.
The baseball reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the baseball reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, we went through the pitchers in the last segment. Guys that Red Sox would likely carry on the postseason roster. And if they carry 11 pitchers instead of 12, and I think 11 really is the number in the postseason, it's going to come down really, I think, to a couple of guys. You know, Brazier, Workman, Eovaldi, those guys at the end for one spot, I think Workman's the odd man out. So Workman's the guy they've sent down to the minor leagues and then brought back up, and they've used him as kind of that shuttle guy. So to me, he'll be the guy out, and he won't be on the roster. And again, if there's an injury, you just bring him up. So no real issue there. The positional roster gets a little more complicated. And again, by everything I can discern, Brandon Phillips is eligible for the postseason. Now, there's a chance I'm reading this rule wrong. My understanding was always you just had to be in the organization to be eligible for the postseason. So, for example, Dustin Pedroia is eligible for the postseason, even though he's on the disabled list. And then you could replace an injured player with anybody in the organization. That was always my understanding of it. So, in theory, the Red Sox could put Dustin Pedroia on the postseason roster, and then because he's on the DL, use his spot for Brandon Phillips, if that makes sense. And I'm making it more convoluted than it is. But I want to get to the particulars of the decision that will be involved at the end because it is an interesting one. You know, as far as it concerns 24th, 25th men on a roster. Like, you know, what do you want me to tell you? When it comes down to this sort of stuff, I dork out. Okay, Nick is in Belmont. Nick, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, yeah. Feeling a little argumentative today. So here's a couple points. You start by saying they only won two out of three. They just went down to Atlanta and swept.
They swept, yeah. And I said, no, they would have won two out of three, I think. If I didn't say that, that's what I meant. They would have won two out of three. They were willing to do that by throwing away the series finale.
Okay. Well, I just feel like it's sort of a reflection on your view of them as a team. And you've been consistent on the fact that the bullpen sucks and the hitting is what's going to take them through. But at the same time, to go down there and take three from Atlanta in that kind of a fashion, I just feel like it speaks to their, you know, to their ability to beat good teams. That was another storyline from this year that you continue to go to, is they haven't been able to beat good teams. And they have. I mean, Atlanta's a top three team in the NL, and they just took care of business, however you want to say it. And then last point, with, you know, Workman letting up a run to Freddie Freeman, one of the best hitters in baseball, I do not see that as a blown, you know, opportunity for the bullpen. He let up one run in a close game, and, like, you know, that's going to happen.
Okay, so look, Nick, he blew the game. You can make all the excuses you want for Workman, but he blew it.
Is that kid serious with that?
So like, who do you think you're going to face in the playoffs? You're going to face the Freddie Freemans of the world. That's who you're going to see. You got to be able to get big outs at big times. So they had this huge rally. They came back. They tied it. Then they left the bases loaded and gave up a home run and were supposed to ignore it. It was a great win. As for the beating of bad teams versus good teams, I think I gave in on that one about a month ago. When they swept the Yankees, I said, well, you know, you got to buy in now. Once they swept New York, it was pretty much over. We had a caller in the last segment say or ask a question, how have they done against first-place teams and Yankees? So the caller won't include the Yankees in that discussion. They're 16-10. Good. Very good. Now, if you're going to include the Yankees, you should also include the second-place team from the West, which is Oakland, because they're a playoff team as well. The Red Sox are 2-4 against the A's, but overall still 18-14. Okay, again, good. And it all changed when they beat New York. That's when it changed. So, but the workman blown save? Listen, I concede to you. They've beaten better competition here of late. They're 4-1 against the Braves. 2-2 against Cleveland. 2-2 against Houston. 8-5 against the Yankees. So they've beaten better teams of late. No two ways about it. But don't give me the workman giving up a home run to Freddie Freeman is okay. That's okay? No, it isn't. Not in a 7-7 game. Not in a tie game. And furthermore, the three games that they took from the Braves, Murray, let me ask you this quickly. Okay, they took three games from the Braves. The first two, they won fairly handily.
Yeah, yeah.
And under control. The third one, they had a miraculous comeback. Which of the two will play better? I mean, the two styles. Which of those is more likely to win in October?
You know, the first two.
Of course. Of course. So listen, today was entertaining. It was dramatic. It was great. But you should hope for the first two games when they get into the playoffs.
No, this was goofy today. It was essentially like you said a few times now, a triple-A lineup. It was very exciting. You have Phillips making his first appearance in a major league game in over a year, and he does that to his former team that he was last with full-time. Like, it was a good little story, but you take more out of the first two games than this one.
Oh, gosh,
make
please.
Excuses for Brandon Workman? Like, please, stop. Are we now going to make excuses for the bullpen, though, for the whole season?
The first two games of the series are far will travel far better in the playoffs than this one today. This one was fun. You should enjoy it. As a fan, you should. But the first two are the ones that you really want to see. And as far as team success is concerned. Kevin's in Houston. Kevin, what do you got?
Hey, guys. So, Mary, you got that 0-487 stat. I really hope that stat's wrong, because if you just do the quick numbers, it's like, been around 4,000 games played this year, so that's 2,000 opportunities for someone to be trailing by 6 runs in the 8th inning. And you're telling me that 1 out of 4 games has been a 6-run game in the 8th inning? The competition is brutal in baseball.
So, but Kevin, why do you find that so surprising that there have been only about 25% of the time would you get a 6-run lead in the 8th inning?
I just can't believe it. 1 in every 4 games, one of the teams is in a blowout win late in the game.
Oh, you think it's high.
It's crazy high to me. It's a reflection on how poor the competition is in baseball, and how you have this talent, this concentration of talent at the top, where there's a few good teams, and they just must be pushing everybody. If 1 in every 4 games played across the league, there's a 6-run differential in the 8th inning.
Okay, so I misunderstood you, Kevin. I thought you were saying that Murray's number was low given the inequity in talent, this year in Major League Baseball. And so I would tell you that 1 out of 4 throughout the game now, not 1 out of every 4 Red Sox games, 1 out of every 4 big league games on any given day, that one team has a 6-run lead in the 8th inning, I'd say that's about right. I mean, I would. I'd say that's about right. That, especially this year. And maybe you're right. Maybe that number's higher than other years. But I wouldn't completely dismiss that. 0-487. Holy crap, what a number that is. Incredible. The positional roster for the Red Sox in the postseason? Let me just go position by position with the starters, because that's easier. Okay? Assuming Leon starts at catcher, Leon, Moreland, Kinsler, let's say Nunez at third, Bogarts, Benintendi, Bradley, Betts, J.D. Martinez. That's your starting 9. You then have 5 spots for the bench. One of them is going to be Christian Vasquez, who's a backup catcher. One of them is going to be Steve Pierce. There's no way they are leaving Steve Pierce off that roster. So that gets you to 11. That means you have 3 spots left for these 4 players. Okay? One of these 4 is not going to make it. Devers, Holt, Swihart, Phillips, who I think might be entering the equation even after one game. Because we know what Phillips has been as a big league player. He had a half-decent year last year. Not awful. Nobody signed him. He's been willing to stick it out. The guy wants to play. I think Phillips is in the conversation. So again, let me ask Jimmy Stewart, let me ask Jim Murray. Of these 4 guys, Devers, Holt, Swihart, Phillips, who do you leave off?
I would leave out Phillips, even though today was a good story. And, you know, look, the guy's got a long track record. No, sorry. I would leave out Holt. I don't think that they will. But ultimately, I think what they will do is leave out Phillips.
Jimmy?
I think they'll leave out Devers.
Okay, so
they love Brock Holt. Brock Holt can play everywhere. He's a utility guy. Awesome.
I think
he's left-handed.
I think they love him in the clubhouse too. He's just been one of those.
Cool, the Brock star! Yay!
So the one thing I wonder about with Devers and Holt is the bat. Right, they're lefty bats.
Oh, and he gives hugs to JD Martinez. They're wonderful hugs. Yay!
So Kinsler and Nunez are both right-handed. Like, what are you going to do? Keep all righties? You got to get some lefties in there. So. I'm not totally convinced that they're going to keep Devers on the roster either, but it's something worth watching anyway. We got a few weeks to figure it out. So do the Red Sox. They always say in baseball, this stuff usually takes care of itself. I don't know if in this case it's true.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.